Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews the fourth chapter. And anyway, what a blessing. It's been one of those weeks where we just have gone to the Lord often, and a lot of times late at night, early in the morning, spending time with the Lord, praying and asking God to do some amazing things. You know, our God can do anything. We have on our prayer list, we see the word cancer many, many times, too many times. It's just so many folks that are dealing with that, some in treatment, some have recovered, some about to start on it. You know, all those things. You know, God is, he is the God that can do anything. He can remove cancer. He can end cancer. He can do all those things. And we know that, and we need to trust him with those things. He is, according to Hebrews 4 here, he is our high priest. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Everything you've gone through, every temptation, every trial, if it's discouragement, it was a temptation. He was tempted with it. If it was a temptation to sin, he was tempted with it. If it was a temptation to gripe and complain, he was tempted with it. But the Bible says he didn't sin. He's our great high priest. And he was tempted in all points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then he says this, let us therefore, based on that, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You need help? We can have that help. Thank God for our great high priest. Go over to 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, if you would. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. And we want to be reminded, the Bible says this, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Thank God that he is the mediator. He is the go-between. He is the way that makes it possible that we can even come to the Father, the way that it's possible that we can pray, the way that it's possible we have our prayers answered, the way that it's possible that we can see miracles in our life, the way it's possible that we can have the power of God on our lives, the way it's possible that we can have help. We need help. Sometimes we just need help. And the way that's possible is because Jesus Christ, he's our mediator, and he's also the great high priest. I would ask you to pray now. Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you for providing Jesus to die on a cross to pay for our sins. Thank you for being for us. Thank you that you want us to pray. You want us to seek your face. You want to help us. You said we have not because we ask not, And God, it doesn't make sense that we wouldn't ask. Thank you that you said we could come boldly to your throne and we can ask and we can see you do great and mighty things. And I pray you'll show us that tonight so clearly in your word, for it's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. He is for us, folks. He really is. It says in verse 16, based on the fact that he is our high priest, he was tempted in all points. He never failed. You know, you and I have failed. Nobody in this room can say, I've never failed. We all have failed, every one of us. He was tempted in all points, every temptation, and yet without sin, he never failed. He wants to help us. He is for us. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you need him tonight? Do you need God to do something? Well, I'm going to tell you, using this passage and then looking at a couple other passages, how that we can understand. He is our great high priest who is for us, who is wanting to help us if we'll just let him help us. I'm amazed. Ye have not because you ask not. I'm amazed at how many folks need his help that just never ask for it. But we need to do it his way. And let's just go through this, and we're going to turn to some other scripture that I think will describe really how we need to come to the Lord Jesus for his help. Number one, look at Mark chapter 4. Well, look at verse 15. It says this. It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but as it was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. We need to first of all take him as he is. Go, if you will, to Mark 4, verse 35. Keep your place here in Hebrews. But Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, a favorite story in the scripture, and very, very good illustration of how the Lord Jesus has made it very clear how we need to take him. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side," talking to his disciples, and going over the sea. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him," who? Jesus, "even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose," and look what he does, "and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." But if he hadn't been on the ship, if he hadn't been there, there would have been no peace. There would have been no calm. Are you listening? They had to take him. Don't miss it in verse 36. I've preached this passage before, and I always key on those three words, "as he was." They took Jesus as he was. They took Jesus. Had they not had Jesus on the ship would have sank. Had Jesus not been there, they would have all perished. But the main thing to look at as far as the way we see it, had they not taken Jesus as he was, they wouldn't have received help. Now listen, folks, we believe this when we go soul winning. We believe this when we're in the tent telling lost sinners about Christ. We believe this when we're on our bus routes and we're telling little children how they can know for sure they're going to heaven. We say, "Oh, you must call upon Jesus Christ to save you." By the way, that is the only way to get to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." You cannot get saved by joining a church. You cannot get saved by getting baptized. You cannot get saved by doing good works. You only can get saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we all believe that. We all say, "Praise the Lord." That's right. Amen. You have to come to Jesus as he is. And we preach that about salvation. By the way, you know, Malachi 3 verse 6 says, "I am the Lord, I change not." We somehow have this idea, well, we'll change Jesus. You can't change Jesus. You take Jesus as he is. We live in a world today that says, well, I don't like getting saved that way. But that's the only way to get saved. There isn't any other way to be saved. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not." For him to change would indicate he wasn't perfect in the first place, and he is perfect. The Bible says back here in Hebrews, says he was tempted every way that I'm tempted, tempted every way you've been tempted, tempted every way that any man has ever been tempted, yet without sin. He doesn't have to change. We take Jesus as he is. And as Christians, we all would say, "You know what? I know, and praise the Lord, that's right, for salvation." Do you understand? There are people in hell today that would not trust Christ as Savior because they wanted him to be something else. They wanted him to be whatever they wanted him to be. Instead of the Lamb of God, instead of the sinless Christ, instead of the Messiah. How many folks are in hell today because they wanted him to be a king with a crown and a scepter and rule and reign? And they did not want him to be the one who hung on a cross, bleeding, dying, to pay for sins. Because we don't want to recognize our sin. He doesn't have to change. We need to take him as he is. As he is. So many want to make him a good man, just a teacher. They want to make him, he just was a moral leader and a good person. And by the way, all those things are true about him, but you have to understand Jesus is the Lamb of God, the spotless, perfect Lamb of God, crucified on a cross, buried in a tomb, risen the third day, and he's coming again. He is God. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the lily of the valley. He is the final sacrifice, the Savior, the Shepherd. He is Almighty God. You take Him as He is, the way, the truth, and the life. And they had to take Him in, and they took Him even as He was. And without Him in the ship, they don't get help. And we all believe that. And we all say, amen, preach it, praise the Lord. And then, verse 39, the Bible says, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm, and they had peace. I submit to you tonight that we believe all that for salvation. We believe that you can't change Jesus. We need to take Him as He is. But then after we get saved, for some reason, we think we're going to change Him. For some reason, we get this idea that, I want Jesus to be what I want Him to be. I want Jesus to be something that I have thought of in my own mind. And we have cults and religions all over the world that they're trying to mold Jesus into whatever they want Him to be to kind of fit their own lifestyle. We have people today that literally, it is blasphemous to imagine the ways that they portray Jesus. And it's sad that even within our own congregation, I think we have folks that just kind of want, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. The preacher starts to preach on righteousness. Do you understand? He is righteous. We don't get it though. Well, I got saved and I trusted Christ and I took Him as He was. Yeah, but we still, as our mediator, we still need to take Him as He is. Amen. It's not up to us to change Him. It is not up to us to somehow make Him fit our lifestyle. You know what it's up to? It's up to us to change. It's not for Him to change for us. It's up to us to change for Him. We live in a day where every kind of religion, every kind of ism and schism and everything else out there is, coming up with all these different ideas. But the thing we have to stick with, folks, is He's the Lord. He said, I change not. He's not changed. Well, we need to be more modern. No, He changes not. We need to believe differently. It offends people. He doesn't change. Do you know that Jesus has always offended people? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We better remember that. As long as you preach Jesus. By the way, what is our battle today in the United States of America? What is the battle that we as Christians are fighting today? The name of Jesus. It's not a right for religion. It's a right to preach Jesus. To say the name of Jesus. Wait a minute. You can talk about all kinds of other religious leaders, but hey, don't talk about Jesus. That's offensive. That offends. I'm telling you, we have this, well, they can't do that. Why do you do that in your own life? As He is. As He is. That's how I was saved. Hey, I came to Him lost on my way to hell, and I came to Him as He is. I saw Him as holy and righteous and perfect and pure. And I saw, because of His righteousness and His perfection and His purity, that I was a lost sinner. I took Him as He was and as He is. Amen. He's my high priest, my mediator. I can't just make Him whatever I want Him to be. The Bible says this in Amos. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together? I use that verse all the time. It is a verse that helps me in my walk with Him. Because I recognize something. If I'm going to walk with Him, I can't expect Him to change. I have to change. If I'm going to walk with Him. Again, I didn't write it. A lot of people, well, Jesus, He'll walk with anybody. Oh, He'll save anybody. He only saves sinners. Nobody's any better than anybody else in this room. We're all a bunch of sinners. Saved by the grace of God, or needing to be saved if you've never been saved. But we need to understand that if I'm going to walk with Him, if I'm going to spend time with Him, if I'm going to grow in Him, it is not Him that needs to change, it's me. I'm the one that needs to be in agreement with Him. You know, I could have said, hey, you know, when I got saved, I could have said, Jesus, I want to walk with you, and blankety blank, 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 because that was my language back when I got saved. But you know what? Even I knew better than that. As a 17-year-old punk, even I knew better than to say blankety blank, blank to God. Even I knew better than to use foul language to try to have a relationship with Jesus. Well, that's how I'd been friends with all my other friends before. I never had a friend like Jesus before. Never walked with one like Jesus before. And all my buddies, we always just talked about blankety blank, blank, blank. But when I came into the presence of Jesus Christ, I realized, wow, I'm going to have to talk about something different. I'm going to have to use different language. I'm going to have to talk different. I'm going to talk about different things. When I'm in the presence of the Lord Jesus, we're the ones that have to change. Look at Romans 10, verse 3. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. I submit to you, dear Christian friend, we believe in taking Jesus as He is for salvation. How about our daily walk? How about our life? How about our lifestyle? The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 3, for they... By the way, they, that's a good description of us. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. When you take Jesus as He is righteous. Can you imagine on that boat? Hey, Jesus, come on the boat. We're all going to play cards and gamble now. Hey, Jesus, get on the boat. We're all going to watch this R-rated movie now. Just sit still. It'll be okay. Hey, Jesus, get on the boat. We're all going to drink our liquor now. Hey, Jesus, get on the boat. We're all going to smoke dope now. Can you imagine? Well, preacher, you know, that's kind of an exaggeration. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that what it says? And that's what we do. We expect Jesus to follow along with whatever little thing we got going on. Hey, Jesus, get on the boat. We're going to gossip about so-and-so now. Hey, Jesus, get on the boat. Plug in whatever you want to plug in. That's what we do. And the fact of the matter is, we need to take Him as He is. And that means we have to change. What is it? You know, the Bible talks about the whore's forehead in the Bible and how she doesn't blush. I'm afraid we have lost our blush in reference to our relationship with our God. Taking Him as He is, we ought to blush about a lot of stuff we do. Amen. We ought to blush about a lot of things we think, a lot of junk in our hearts. We ought to blush about our attitudes. Take Him as He is. How is He? He's holy. He's holy. Oh, to be like Thee. That should be our attitude. Too many want to change Him. It ain't going to work, folks. And as the days get tougher and tougher, you know, as mankind does more and more to push Him out, it ought to be us that says, no. We need to be like Him. Why? I need Him. I need Him. I so desperately, daily need Him. He's my intercessor. He's my mediator. Amen. Take Him as He is. He's loving. As He is, He loves. As He is, He's gracious. Every good gift and every perfect gift come. I like all that. As He is, His grace is always sufficient, as Paul said. You know what the Bible says? It's interesting. When you think about the future, and we're thinking about it. We sang a song with the sound of trumpets. Man, I got excited. I saw a couple of you almost smile a couple times. That's good. Amen. But you know, if you really think about it, what's the Bible say? Okay, you know, we somehow, I don't know what you think about heaven. I don't think we're sitting on clouds playing harps. Come on. He said, I go to prepare a mansion for you. Amen? A mansion in heaven. That's not sitting on a cloud playing a harp. By the way, sitting on a cloud playing a harp is a whole lot better than hell ever would be. But heaven's a wonderful place. It's a great place. What is our thoughts about what we're going to do? Well, you know, me and the guys, we're just going to talk dirty and cuss and swear and smoke and drink and smoke marijuana. And we're going to gossip about everybody and make fun of their mansion. And we're going to be bullies to people. And you got to be kidding me. We're not going to do any of that in heaven. In fact, you know what the Bible says? And it's so clear. It says, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. How about if you see him as he is now, today? How about next time you get down on your knees to pray, you take him as he is? Instead of, oh God, do this for me, do this for me, do this, change this, change this, change this. How about, oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee, precious Redeemer, pure as thou art. That'd be a good prayer for all of us. You know why you're in trouble tonight? You know why we have all our troubles? And we could take it and lay it at the cross. Is because we're trying to make Jesus what he isn't. And we need to take him as he is. Thank God he is an as he is Savior. I am so glad. I am so glad that he's far above. I preached last week about one of the wonderful things about the things I wonder why about. One of the great things. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. He doesn't have to tell me everything. He's God. And I am so glad he's God above. He has control of everything below. And I must take him as he is. As he is. You want his help tonight? You want him to bless you tonight? You want every good gift that he could provide tonight? Then you better take him as he is. If you're not saved, that's how you get saved. But as a Christian, that's how you live. Take him as he is. But then the second thing, not only is he my high priest as he is, but notice what else it says back in Hebrews chapter 4. It says in verse 15, for we have not an high priest, watch this, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He understands. He understands our infirmities. Nobody else may understand. I have people all the time come and they say, Pastor, they say, you know, I'm going through this or I'm going through that. Do you understand? And most of the time I have to say, you know what? I don't really understand totally. But he understands. He understands our infirmities. And so number one is as he is, but number two is our high priest. He comes where we are because he understands. Well, he knows you. He knows what's going on. You and I, we can fake other people out. You cannot fake him out. But he comes right where we are. By the way, in salvation, we love that. We love that. Come on, people. Honestly, we love that. Look at our illustration. You know the story, Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. Keep your place in Hebrews. I'm on the back page. That ought to encourage you. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Look what it says. Luke 10 verse 30. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. By the way, he's half dead. That means he's what? He's half alive. Amen. I get so frustrated. Well, that guy's half dead. Yeah, but he's half alive. Praise God. We'll get back to that. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So the priest, he sees this guy half dead and said, oh, he's half dead. And he walks by on the other side. Doesn't want to mess with him. doesn't have time to deal with it. Notice verse 32. Likewise, a Levite, here's another religious fella, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Here's another one. He looks down. Oh, that guy's half dead. I'm so glad. I am so glad God didn't look at me and say, he's half dead, and go by on the other side. Because I got news for you. I was more than half dead. I was dead in trespasses and sins, according to my Bible. Thank God he lifted me. Oh, praise it. Some of you ought to tell your face to smile. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed. Here's the picture of Jesus. Notice what it says. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Isn't that good? Came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Isn't that good? That's my high priest. Why? Because he knows. He understands my infirmity. He understands my wicked, vile sin and my filth of my life. He understood all of that. And he came where I was. And we shout for salvation. We love that. And he had compassion. And he went to him and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. What a beautiful picture of what Jesus did for those of us who are saved today. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave them to the host, and he said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. That's what Jesus did for me. And we all say amen. He came where we are. Whew. By the way, it's interesting here, as far as religious folks go, 2 out of 3 blew it. 2 out of 3, they saw him. They saw blood. They saw nasty. They saw yuck. They saw a mess. But I submit to you, the Good Samaritan, who I believe pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, he came where he was. He came where he was. That's what Jesus did for me. That's what he did for you if you're saved today. If you're not saved, he'll come right where you are. Somebody said, well, I want to clean up my life. You can't clean. Let him clean up your life. You come just like you are. We sing a song at invitation time, just as I am. Just, that's how he wants you to come. You know, I think we sing songs so much, sometimes we don't think about the words. Yeah, I don't know how you sing that song without tearing. I was 17 years old. 17 and on my way to hell, living a wicked life, a vile life, a life far, far away from God. And somebody preached that Jesus Christ loves me and he died on a cross to pay for my sin and he'd save me if I'd come. And they sang, just as I am without one plea. Wait a minute, don't I have to clean up my act? You know. Don't I have to join the church? No, you can't join the church. Don't I have to get baptized? No, you don't have to. Don't I have to do a lot of good things? No, you just come. Just bring all your sin. Bring it to Jesus. He'll take care of it all. Amen. Because he comes where we are. Isn't that good? Oh, I've watched him. I've seen him go. I've seen him go into the darkest corners of the city. I've watched him pull drug addicts out of drugs. I've watched him pull prostitutes out of a life of sin. I've watched him pull homosexuals out of a life of misery. I've watched him take homes that are broken and put them back together. I've watched God take people's lives that are a mess and people whose lives are on their way to hell and their lives are worthless. And I've seen him do great and mighty things for those people, because he came where we are. Where we are. Somebody said, I found him. No, he found you. He found you. He found me, a 17-year-old, long-haired, hippie rebel. That's what he found. Somebody who didn't know a thing about church, didn't know a thing about religion. Thank God. And he said, I love you. I love you. Won't you call on me? I'll come where you are. Son, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's still seeking to save, and to seeking to save that which is lost. Did you ever notice in this passage, and I just want to go back to it here real quick, back where it talks about in Luke chapter 10, notice what it says in verse 37. It says, "And he said, he that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise." Why? Huh? What's he saying? He says, now you go and go where they are. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I think we have too many people that are waiting on people to come in. We got to go where they are. Oh, one of the hardest things my wife and I had to watch was when we were in Vancouver, Canada. And Canada, you know, it's just, you know, really beautiful. And Vancouver's a beautiful city. And all of it, I mean, the skyscrapers, all the buildings, everything's beautiful. And of course, we were with Ben and Becky Turner, our missionaries there. And they're taking us on a tour. And we see the water there. And I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful. And we got on one street. Just one street. And according to Brother Turner, they just make everybody. All the drugs, all the drug addicts, all the prostitutes, they all just on this one street. We drove down that street. I saw things I haven't seen in a long, long time. We saw a pregnant woman laying out on the sidewalk, just laying there sound asleep. We saw people shooting up right there on the sidewalk, just right there. Said, what about the police? Well, they just want to keep everybody in this one area. Here's what you have to understand. You say, well, you know what? If Jesus was in Vancouver, you know where Jesus would be? He'd be walking down that street. That's where he found some of you. That's where he found you, wasn't it? He came where you, thank God he came where you were. You were in jail. Huh? You were in trouble. You were an alcoholic. Your home was a wreck. He found you. Because he came where you are. We need to be that's why those buses are out there, folks. Isn't that wonderful? Because we got to go where they are. Well, you know, every now and then somebody might just walk in. Yeah, but what if we'd go out there and find them? We need to go where they are. I remember the time down in Shreveport, Louisiana, we were getting ready to start church, and in the back there, the aisle was down the middle, kind of like this, but the door was there in the foyer. They came right in there, and I looked back, and a fellow was staggering in, and I could tell that something was wrong, and I went back. Church was right, just getting ready to start, and I walked back to the back, and as soon as I got within about 2 feet of him, I could smell that he was drunk. I mean, he smelled so bad. He came in, and he said, "Hey," he said, "I want to go to church tonight." I said, "Man," I said, "we're glad that you're here." And one of the men came over and said, "Pastor, you want me to deal?" I said, "Oh, no. No, I can deal with it." You say, "Why? We don't want you to get your suit dirty." We need to go where they are, folks. I remember putting my arm around that fella, and I mean, he stunk so bad. I mean, he was he could have thrown up any time. But I told him about Jesus and how Jesus loved him. Listen to me. Listen to me. Aren't you glad somebody told you? Aren't you glad somebody? Brother Lou is back here. Some teenager knocked on his door years ago. And they were brave enough to knock on. And he lived in a nice neighborhood. And, you know, it's very intimidating, especially for a teenager. And they knocked on his door, a couple of girls. And they said, "Sir, here's a gospel tract. Tell you how to know for sure you're going to heaven." And Lou just, I'm not interested right now. And he took the tract and he put it on his refrigerator. And years later, he pulled out that tract. All that time, Jesus was saying, "Come on, come on." Jesus, but somebody took Jesus there where he was. Are you listening to me? Why don't we believe it? Why don't we believe that he comes where we are? The story's told of him going after the one lost sheep wherever he was. Drug addicts, harlots, drunkards, thieves, liars. He comes where you are. And we believe all that for salvation. I think about in the midst of wicked surroundings, he'll come. But he'll also come in a Christian home. I love the story. At the same time that our son David trusted Christ as his Savior, in our Christian home, in our basement of our home. I took him downstairs. He said, Daddy, I need to get saved. He was 4 or 5 years old. And I talked to him about Jesus, and he got saved. Almost the same week, a prostitute came to our home. And she'd lived a wicked life. In fact, she had committed many crimes right here in Michigan. And we were in Indiana. And I took her, my wife and I, in the living room. And we opened up our Bible and showed her how to be saved. Same Jesus who saved our son saved that prostitute. Drug addict, prostitute, whose life was a total wreck. And today, that person is serving God. After all these, every year, in fact, it'll just be a few months, she'll call us and she'll say, Pastor Rogers, thank you. Thank you for taking me in your home and telling me how to be saved. God's changed my life. But all I'm saying is, it's the same Jesus that saved our son. No difference. He just comes where you are. Now I say all that, and I'm just about done. I say all of that to say this, that you have to understand something. He'll come in the midst of wherever you are too. We have this idea somehow. Well, you know, I'm just not what I ought to be, but you can be. Let him come where you are. The problem's not him, the problem's you. The problem is you saying, I've sinned. David was in sin. David had committed adultery. David had the man murdered whose wife he committed adultery with. King David. And he went a year. And he fell down on his face finally because God came to him. And David got right. You understand the difference? And David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know why there's no joy? Why there's no peace? Why the truth of the matter is, you don't recognize that he'll come right where you are as he is where you are. Hey, listen, have you failed? Get up. Get up and let him come where you are. Well, I want to wait. No, you don't need to wait. You need him now where you are. Just as when he saved your soul, he'll change your life. He really will, as he is where we are. And you know, one of the things I love about him coming where we are, it doesn't have anything to do with you having talent. It has nothing to do with you having money. It has nothing to do with you being a new convert or an old convert or you're discouraged or whatever it may be. He'll meet you right where you are. We practiced for our shepherd's program this morning, didn't we? We had a good time, didn't we? We're going to sing Dwelling in Beulah Land together. And we'll have the platform will be full of our shepherd's ministry. And you know what? Like you, right? And like, yeah, let's not all say like me, okay? And you know what? God's going to use them. God's going to use everything that goes on there. Amen? Because he comes just like we are. Just like we are. If we're a little bit nuts, he comes like we are, right? Amen. If we have a speech impediment, he meets us right where we are. Ask Moses. We talked about Moses today. Moses, when God said, you're going to lead my people, Moses said, but God, I can't talk. I flunked speech class. Can you imagine the angels are thinking, what is God thinking? This Moses guy, he is going to blow it. It'll take him an hour just to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Amen. But that's where Moses, are you listening to me? That's where Moses was. He flunked speech class. That's where he was. Boy, did God ever use him. God will use you too. If you'll just let him come where you are. Take him as he is, where we are. That's how he is, our high priest. He knows our infirmity. He knows your problem. He knows your need. He knows everything about you. as he is, where we are, and then the last thing, number three, in time of need. Isn't that what it says in verse 16? Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, as he is where we are when we need him. That's what he wants to do for you. That's what he wants to do for us. You sit here today and there's needs all over this place, every kind of thing going on possible. But he sees an individual. He sees you. Now you see him as he is. He'll come where you are. You just meet him there and let him help you in your time of need. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.